Welcome to Brands Decoded Podcast, where we speak with some of the best founders crafting the next generation of brands. I'm Rahul from Times Internet, where we back consumer internet companies.
Hi, I'm Zoeb from Sauce VC that backs early stage consumer brands. We came together to build the Brands Decoded community, where members eat, drink, sleep, and craft brands.
Our guest today is Chakradhar, co-founder of Country Delight, a brand delivering fresh milk and produced directly from farms to your homes. We'll hear from him on skipping the whole retail experience and going truly direct to customer. Pleasure to have you with us today, Chakradhar.
Thanks a lot, Rahul, for having me here and for this opportunity to discuss, you know, and think of older times. I'm a comm science engineer. Then I was with Infosys. You know, to date, even I remember some of those quotes by Infosys, like, you know, powered by intellect, driven by values, things like that, which, you know, sort of inspire you when you're out of engineering. But somewhere down the line, after a couple of years, felt a loss of identity working in such a large organization with, like, you know, almost tens of thousands of people. Thought that, you know, after this, I should work in a leaner organization where I'll be able to understand and see the impact of what I do. Then post MBA, took some keen interest in a career in finance and joined a US-based asset management company called Horizon Asset Management, and where I, you know, got exposed to the fundamental concepts of value investing on how to look at good businesses and things like that. And also through, you know, some investment banking opportunities, understood, met a lot of Indian promoters and founders and saw how these people spend 20, 25 years of their lives building one business, and sort of deeply inspired me. And with a friend of mine, Nitin, both of us are batchmates in Indore, we started this together back in 2011, initially as a part-time affair. So, you know, both of us had a very low risk appetite. So we thought, ki, you know, jo bhi savings hai, usko matlab we can't put it in a 1-0 business. So let's see, you know, what works well. And somehow a cattle farm where, you know, animals multiply looked like a great concept, because assets, the whole finance thought process keeps coming in. Here, assets depreciate nahi hote. So, aaj, if you have 100 cattle, you know, someday you'll have 5,000 cattle. That's what the Excel model told. And so that's how the whole thing started. But it was a nightmare for the first year and a half. And that's how broadly Country Delight started, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, right? Like studying at IIM and, you know, while maybe other batchmates were thinking more about finance or, you know, software, and your focus maybe was finding, you know, some large opportunities. And I think India is the world's largest milk producing country, right? But phir bhi hame koi innovation nahi dikhti hai. There's very less innovation out of India. So would love to understand, I mean, how did you guys stumbled upon this, or how did you guys think, you know, now that we are experimenting with a small farm, but how do we kind of scale this up and build something large?
You see, Rahul, one thing was very clear that, you know, from day one, there was no understanding ki, you know, how milk industry works, but there were a couple of things which were very clear, which was basically from consumer point of view, that you can actually give a better quality product, and it's a very large addressable market. And this is 101 of, you know, when you're trying to build a business, that, you know, you should be able to sell what you're going to get. And the more the guarantee of selling, being a conservative person, the more comfortable you feel, you know, starting a business. And the second aspect is, you know, you should be able to sell it in a self-sustainable way. So, you know, coming from understanding the whole thought process that if you're able to give a better quality product, fundamentally, there will be, like, you know, to start with, for your base case scenario, 1,000 customers. And once you have 1,000 customers, and the whole idea was to do it in a way that delights customers, to genuinely win the appreciation of customers. And to hope that, you know, once you build a good name for yourself and the product that you're doing, the word spreads and, you know, you keep acquiring more customers. So at least on that front, you know, except, like, you know, underestimating how, you know, real life versus multiplication on Excel works, at least the basics of, you know, starting a business I think we got them pretty much, you know, right. But it was completely underestimated, the toughness of executing things. But you know, thanks to our customers, we've learned everything from our customers. Just it took a lot of persistence. We were bootstrapped till 2017, like 6 years. You know, of course, initially it was part time. Later on, 2013 say full time. Okay, yeah. But it took a lot of, you know, persistence and to sort of, you know, stay true to solving a customer's problem. And believe it or not, it took us, 6 years to reach a 6 crore turnover. And today we are like, you know, in the next 3 years, we did a, 60 times growth.
Wow.
So, you know, that sort of tells, you know, how important, you know, getting your basics right.
Correct. And just to pick from the conversation, you both started this part-time, right? For the audience, there are a lot of, you know, thanks to Flipkart and thanks to, you know, the way Indian startup ecosystem is booming, there are a lot of young professionals who think that can we start by the side, right? And then once we have some traction or a little product market fit, we should jump in altogether, right? Chakradhar, it would be amazing to learn that a lot of young professionals who would love to, you know, jump in into entrepreneurship.
No, I mean, Rahul, I mean, in retrospect, I can clearly say that it was a very bad idea to start part-time. So, the most important thing when you're starting out is to be extremely focused on what you're doing. And to have that kind of focus, you need to be full-time into it. And you know, even after 1.5 years of part-time, still we took 4 years as a business to get our product market fit. So those 1.5 years were more like, you know, figuring out that, you know, part-time will not work. And when I had my son, I thought, if I don't do this now, maybe I'll get into a lag zone. Because the business was almost like failing when it was part-time affair. So you have to be, if you want to build something for yourself, especially in a country like India, where pretty much a lot of things are unorganized. I think the one or two things which are very important is one, you need to put your full effort into it, and you should give yourself 4 to 5 years of time, not even 1-2 years of time. Otherwise, you know, the chances of success significantly reduce. I mean, it is not that people do not succeed, but if you want that, you know, and when you are persistent for such a long time, the right timing comes to you, and when the right timing comes, things start taking off.
Amazing. And what were the hardcore challenges that, you know, you and Nipun faced? You know, what were the maybe 2 or 3, you know, hardest challenges? And it's a very tough business. We've seen, I think, hundreds of startups in this domain, you know, hundreds of businesses also, and majority of them have failed. So what is that magic sauce that made it work?
No, it is not one thing, Rahul. There are many things. So it's a very complex, building a full stack business is very complex. So fortunately or unfortunately, the challenge we've taken up as a business is to own the product and the customer, both. You know, usually it so happens that you either own the product and you know, focus on the regular distribution channel, or you own the distribution channel and, you know, let someone else get you the product. But, you know, somehow that's what we felt, that, you know, to build a sustainable business, that's what is needed. And there were many challenges, whether it's a perishable product with a 4-hour shelf life. You know, sourcing is a big challenge. Sourcing at the right price is a bigger challenge. Sourcing in the right quality is a bigger challenge. Getting the cold chain right is a huge challenge. Last mile logistics is not scalable. How do you acquire customers? Because, you know, why should a customer believe you that you're giving the best quality product if not for word of mouth? You know, how do you make your customer experience easy? How do you solve for working capital problems? So it was like, I think maybe like, at least at the first level, there were like maybe 15 to 20 smaller problems to solve, which would take a lot of time to, you know, even understand before you solve them. And then when you're bootstrapped, you're always cash strapped. So, you know, building a lean capex cycle, you know, these things were very, very critical, using tech to solve the problems. So, you know, when we started, we used to do paper delivery routes, you know, and they were like, and we used to buy mopeds for people. You know, there was no asset light. People didn't have bikes. And these were days when there was no Swiggy, there was no Zomato, there was nobody. And but slowly we built, we initially worked with a model where we worked with auto rickshaw guys. They work for 3 hours in that morning. They get their rental for the vehicle. The rest of the day they make their money. So that helped us kill the asset problem at that level. In terms of production, built a very lean production system. No idea about production, no idea about quality, understanding how quality works. And you know, you don't have the experts to teach you because you don't have the money to get the experts to teach you. And even if you have the money, maybe you don't know who the experts are. So it's a very tricky and tough journey, which only time can solve if you are able to, if you're sticking around and solving one problem after the other. Then over a period of time, you start figuring things out and you build a well-oiled machine that can, you know, run on its own.
Amazing. That's definitely, I think it was a very understatement stating what were the core 2-3 challenges, because there were core 20 or 30 challenges, not merely 2 or 3, you know. But especially I'm very, very intrigued to learn about, the usage of tech in this entire business, because, there's tech definitely on the customer front, which is fairly, which is now a commodity because it's easy, you know, majority of the people and the talent knows about it, how to build that. I think what is very, very interesting is tech on the farmer side, on the supply chain side, on the cold chain side. So if you could throw some light, aapne kaise solve kiya usko, and what does a farmer that kind of, you know, provides you milk, what is the persona of that farmer look like?
When it comes to production, the kind of farmers we typically work with have, you know, about 10 to 15 cattle. We take the milk fresh, you know, within 3 to 4 hours from milking, both morning and evening every day. Once this is taken, we have a system which, you know, helps us monitor for adulteration as well as nutritive metrics real time. And everyone in the organization will be able to see what is the kind of reading. So it's a real time audit that is inbuilt into the system. We use video analytics to monitor if there is any tampering anywhere. Once the product is taken, the temperature of the product, whether it is being chilled immediately and what temperature is it being chilled. If there is any irregularity, then it is again flagged out centrally. What is the quantity that is being taken in? Then, you know, when the tanker is in transit, you know, the whole process is completely monitored by a central team where the vehicles are and what is the transit, what is the transit temperature, what is the transit quantity, whether there is any abnormal stoppage in the route. Once it comes to a production location, the whole process adherence, whether the process is adequately followed or not, and even, you know, what all the way to the packing, whether there are the right kind of filters which are placed at the appropriate locations, things like this. So everything, we have a basically concept of a digital twin where an electronic twin of the entire business operation is built through a mixture of video and data and IoT analytics that we are able to monitor real time. And hence, you know, scalably provide good quality product to our customer.
Anyone having a glass of milk cannot imagine how much technology is
there. A lot of effort goes into, you know, it's a perishable product, Rahul. Correct. I mean, that's the most important. And the challenge is we want to give that product as is in the original form to our customers, fresh, you know, within 24 to 36 hours from milking. So if you want to do it scalably, that is the kind of, you know, challenge this brings. And that's why it took us such a lot of time to figure these things out.
Phenomenal. Also, just want to understand, do you provide these vans, and does vans go and essentially collect milk from one particular area, which has multiple farmers, you know?
So we have, we rent the vehicles, we operate on a very asset-light model, but, you know, it is our personnel who go and collect the milk from the farmers. And once that is collected, we get it to our centralized chilling location where we chill it. So typically what a chilling location caters to in a 200 kilometer radius, Country Delight uses it for a 50 kilometer radius. So that is the basic, you know, core. Or in milk, primarily if you take care of good chilling, no adulteration, clear supply chain, you know, then, you know, good hygiene. So these things, these are the few basic things if you're able to take care of them at a fundamental level, you can give a good product. And that's what we've realized.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And just want to understand, what does a typical Country Delight user look like?
Mothers are our key customers. Mothers for 2 to 10-year-old, 2 to 15-year-old kids. That is one big customer segment for us. That's when, you know, mothers are very protective of the children. They want the children to have the best. And we want our customers to have the best quality products. And so that's one key point. And typically people who are who've crossed their 40s and entering the 50s who would want to, you know, be more health conscious and focus on a healthier living, having better minimally processed, pure and fresh products. That's the kind of customers who we cater to. And our broader thesis is also that, you know, milk is what we think of as an entry point. It took us a long time to solve this, but now we understand how, you know, how a customer thinks and what a customer wants from us is pure, fresh, minimally processed food essentials. That's exactly what we are thinking. And some of the product categories that we are moving into, which is fruits and vegetables, cold pressed oil, spices, all rice, wheat. So these are categories where we want to be in, where there is a clear differentiator if you are able to give a pure, fresh and minimally processed product. So that is the core focus that we are working on. So we want to be this brand that comes to your house every day, where you get the kind of food that you probably have in a village, you know, which is very pure, which you can, you know, take from the farm near you, which you can consume fresh, and where, you know, there is no over-processing, overheating, no stabilizers, no additives, just have it. And we want to get that experience all the way to your doorstep in the city, wherever you live. That's where we are.
You know, just going back, you said there's also a lot of IoT, you know, and data analytics. So do you use products of other startups as well? Has Country Delight already become that bigger brand now, which is essentially using, you know, multiple startups to manage this whole operations and do it?
We work with a bunch of products which we get, but you know, some of the problems that we solve are extremely custom. So we end up having to develop on our own. We don't want to bake it into the business, but unfortunately, we are having to, you know, solve for these problems on our own primarily, because you know, it's a new and evolving field right now. You know, farmers, the whole supply chain monitoring and technology for supply chain monitoring, and it's a globally evolving problem. So you know, maybe, you know, 7-8 years down the line, there'll be solutions that, or maybe like 3-4 years down the line also, there'll be solutions which we can use. But today, most of the solutions that we use are developed in-house. But we are trying a few things, so, you know, with a couple of partners.
Fantastic. And how has the fundraising journey been? Was it difficult? Because most VCs would either be sitting in Kormangla or south of Bombay, and they would have probably never visited, you know, a rural area or essentially a milk farm, and they have no ideas how milking is done. You know, how tough or how easy was fundraising for you?
So Rahul, I mean, as far as fundraise is concerned, I think one of the most important things is that you have to be clear about what you're doing. And if you are mostly clear about what you're doing, it becomes the other person's call whether, you know, they want to partner with you or not. And when that makes the decision easy for everybody, and all you need is to start with one partner out of the entire universe of people who want to invest. So the probability is, you know, higher that you will find them. And we've been very, very lucky to have found partners like, you know, Matrix or IOS and now Elevation Capital and IFL. But yeah, I mean, so if the idea is mostly to be, you know, clear on what you're doing, have a clear short-term, medium-term plan, be clear about your value proposition, and then it becomes it's a matter of, you know, getting that one person, you know, who would want to invest in you. So till you figure out that, it becomes a little difficult journey in terms of fundraise. But once you've figured that out, then your life becomes a little easier, at least, because, you know, the ball is not in your court anymore.
Sure. And since you talked about, you know, finding that one person, so I just want to understand How did you find your early employees? You know, how difficult was it to build the team? Because it's not a typical play. You can't find talent who understands milking, who understands, you know, this kind of a very new innovation, essentially. So how did you, you know, come across the very early believers in Country Delight? Who were these people?
So it was, again, very organic, Rahul, to start with. You know, it was not that we knew on the day one what were the people who were required to do this business. It was very, very slow and very organic. And only thing as a philosophy that, you know, I look at and we look at is basically that if a person likes what he is doing, then, you know, your job is pretty much done. And we have very low attrition. I feel very proud to say that we have very low attrition rate in our business. People hardly leave except to, you know, maybe start their own ventures. But that's the one core rule of when we hire, is that, you know, you get people who are going to like what they do. Even if they're less qualified, that is still okay. Because if the passion makes up for everything else, the passion and the desire to achieve makes up for everything else. And the second thing is to be very focused on what you want of a person. I mean, if you're not clear about what you want, it's better not to hire, because you're spoiling someone's career also. The idea is, if you are very clear, then it becomes an easier decision for that person and for you. So as a habit, you know, the entire team that we've built over the last 6-7 years, this is the one most important. These are the one or two most important things we've had in mind. And fortunately, you know, then even salary becomes a smaller problem. Not to say that, you know, in the earlier days, everyone had to make adjustments, but now we don't worry so much about it. But the most important thing is that basically to give a person what they like the most, and then you don't have to look after them. They can look after themselves.
Fantastic. And how easy or difficult is it for you to scale, you know, to a new city, to a new geography? And how, rather, I think the right thing to say is how difficult it is to, you know, kind of build on the supply side of things. How do you build that trust amongst those milk farmers to, you know, that you will buy that milk constantly? You know, I would love to understand about that.
It's pretty much like on the last mile. It's not extremely tough once you know what you're doing again. You know, you have a network over time. You know, you have farmers here who are connected to farmers there. You need one or two starting references once you go and set up. And if if you're ethically sourcing, if you're paying people on time, word spreads, and then you start getting more product. And let's say, you know, sometimes if you have difficulty, you pay immediately whenever you take the milk so that they build trust. And once it takes 3-4 months for that process. But once that is done, the network sort of sets itself. And again, as a business, we don't want to disrupt anybody's business when we enter. That's why we've been fortunate enough to not face any big problems, which again, people usually say that you face political problems and all these things. But our approach has been not to spoil anybody's life, but to just focus on, you know, what we want without, you know, making things worse for anybody.
Correct. And just the way you mentioned earlier that, you know, ensuring that the milk collected reaches, you know, so essentially it's from farm to a customer's house within max 36 hours. So I believe, you know, you never had the luxury to even think that you will build a retail distribution. But in years to come, do you think that besides that continuing to be direct to home, would you also go omni-channel, and would we see Country Delight products in retail stores as well?
Less unlikely, Rahul, because our focus is on pure fresh products to you. So once you go to these channels, you end up compromising on the shelf life. So today, the dahi that I give, it's within 24 hours of making. It doesn't need to have a 15-day shelf life. It just needs to have a 5-day shelf life. The breads that we give have a 5-day shelf life. Like any bread that you procure from outside has a 7-to-8-day shelf life. And for that, you will have to add some stabilizer, some preservative, or anything. So if we want to stay true to our promise of giving pure and fresh products to our customers, it's very difficult for us to adopt these the modern trade or the general trade channels, because somewhere or the other, if the product gets compromised, it's the brand to blame. And that's why, you know, we have a very unique business model, which we think it's truly, there is no global comparable also to what the kind of business that we have. And it solves for a very unique problem in this world today, where food is typically overprocessed, food is typically not fresh, it's made for a longer shelf life, and, you know, sourcing is not clear. So at least with the focus that we have on our promise, it looks very, very unlikely for us to take an omnichannel approach.
Wow, that's super impressive. I mean, having that customer obsessiveness is just phenomenal. And I'm truly amazed, you know. Also, you know, wanted to ask, what unique insights did you learn about? Because you were direct to home, you know, or direct to customer, direct to home, direct to table, right? So what unique insights kind of helped form this whole thesis that, you know, the whole company is built on these values, essentially?
It's again pure customer feedback, listening to your customer, solving for the customer problems, aiming for customer delight. You know, that gives you, that's the source of you, that's your bread and butter, basically. If your customer is unhappy, because the retention is built into the business model, the cross-sell is built into the business model, everything is very clear. The only thing that you need to just keep harping on, keep focusing on is to just keep, giving consumer the products that you promise you would give. And if you just like focus on that one thing and build your products on that, then that's the only way, like that teaches you everything, basically, whatever you need to know. So that, I mean, the most important thing that we've, and it's like, you know, it's helped us the most, because there's no domain knowledge. There's nothing, like, you know, when we started this. So it's only customer connect and customer feedback and solving for customer feedback. That is your only, like, nirvana that you can, like, sort of chase.
Amazing. I'm a big fan, and I you know, I don't think that people with the core sector expertise build the largest segments themselves, because they know the limitations, and those limitations limit them.
Yeah, yeah.
Starting up. So
so when you don't know anything, when you're very innocent and naive, you end up chasing the impractical, and sometimes you end up succeeding. Yeah,
correct. So milk is a huge segment, and majority of the direct to consumer brands we see in India, you know, even globally, kind of are built on, you know, various niche, you know. What is your thought process for other direct-to-consumer founders, right? Built for essentially, a product like Country Delight, which is essentially for a much wider and mass audience, you know, versus for that niche. What would you say?
No, it depends on what you want to achieve. I mean, we never wanted to be a brand that is for a select privileged few. We wanted to be a brand that is giving the best possible product at the lowest possible price, whatever is possible, without compromising on quality and in the most convenient format. That's the mission we chose for ourselves. So there is nothing like wrong in choosing a premiumized segment or giving a premiumized value proposition if it makes a good business use case and makes business sense. But this is what we chose for ourselves.
Fantastic. Maybe talk about one or two large mistakes you did over this journey.
We made hundreds of mistakes. I mean, not one or two. I mean, there's no end to the number of mistakes we've made. You know, it starts with buying, you know, cattle and setting up a farm. taking a processing, getting into milk processing without even understanding how to operate a machine. You know, that, like, there were many, many blunders we've done, but I think broadly we, as a business, we've gotten our basics right always. One, to have a sustainable business, to have a large addressable market, to stay consumer focused, to use tech to solve for scale, and to have team which is highly ownership driven. These are, you know, some of the key things which helped us. But and the other thing is when you make mistakes, it's better to make them smaller and figure out your way bigger. So the approach is always to, you know, A/B test a lot in everything that you do. And hence, so like avoid the bigger mistakes to the extent possible. But, you know, mistakes, I mean, if you don't make a mistake, you there's no way you can learn. It's just to make the mistakes as small as possible, so that the impact of your mistake does not reflect in a big way in your organization.
Phenomenal. You know, one perhaps last question, you know, for the listeners, essentially, what would be your piece of advice, A, for direct-to-consumer founders, and second, from your journey to people who are looking to start off?
So I believe, you know, I'm too early for giving advices, you know, but, you know, like I said, you know, for I think any business, whether it's direct-to-consumer or not, listening to your customer is what builds your business. I mean, there is no other way to do it. And if you know, I were to tell myself something, you know, to when I start again, is to keep a 5-year horizon when you look. Because it became very tricky after, you know, I initially thought 2-3 years, but it was after 3 years, it became very patience testing. But if you keep in India, I think you should give yourself 5 years to decide whether you fail or succeed. Have short-term targets, be very, very short-term focused. You know, things like vision and all, they take a lot of many years to build. Having a vision takes many years. So in the early days, you shouldn't think too vision oriented. You should think very, very short term. You should look at how will I get my product market fit as soon as possible? How do I increase my revenues? How do I survive? So be very short term oriented. Don't overhire. Again, that is another thing. Be very, very clear, very, very focused. Understand every decision you make. If you don't understand what you do, no one will. There is no one else after you who can, look after what's going on. So you are the last line of defense. So, so you should know that and plan accordingly.
Crazy insights, Chakradhar. These are certainly applicable to anyone building any kind of a company. Thanks so much for joining the show. Such a pleasure to host you. Learned so much, and I'm sure so did our listeners. Dear listeners, if you like this episode, do share it with others looking to learn more about consumer brands. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. We would absolutely love to hear your feedback and views. You can tweet it out to us at kcap_in. See you next week with our next episode.